If you got your Bibles, turn tonight to Revelation chapter 5. We are moving now. We are in the things that are hereafter, the future things. I do not understand how some of the brethren come up with this thought that Revelation from 5 or 4 all the way through 19 has already been fulfilled. I want y'all to know something that's totally impossible. It does not fit good interpretation of the scripture. And I want to say this to you. I don't want to jump off on a rabbit, but I want to give you this. You are not interpreting the scripture correctly if you do not do it literally. But you say, preacher, there's symbolic language in the Bible. That's correct. But do you know the Bible, in most cases, shows us what the symbolic language means? But you've got to interpret it literally, a literal interpretation of the Bible. And I'm going to say this, I'll get some folks aggravated with me, but that's been a 49-year-old thing with me. I believe you cannot interpret it correctly unless you do it literally and also dispensationally. Now, some of the reformers and some of these new guys who think the reformers, and I'll be honest with you, they're a mess. And I'll show you some things that they've messed up tonight. They do not interpret the scripture literally nor dispensationally. We're in the dispensation of grace right now. We're in the dispensation of the church. We're living in a mystery time. Because the church was not mentioned in the Old Testament. And I want you to know something. The church is not mentioned after chapter 4 until we get to Revelation chapter 19. The church is not mentioned. Because the church is a mystery. And God, and by the way, this whole passage I'm getting ready to get into, Jacob's trouble, the tribulation period, it was never designed for the church. It was designed for the Jews and the Gentile nations. Are y'all with me? Now let's read some verses. You have your Bible? Lois's song is the title of the lesson today. Worthy is the Lamb. Do you believe he's worthy? Say amen. And let's read these great 14 verses because this is probably, listen, catch every word. This passage is probably the most important passage as far as opening up the rest of Revelation. It actually opens up the rest of Revelation. It's the most important passage. If you don't get this right, you can't get the rest right. Am I making sense? Yep. So let's look at it. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. This seven seal book, it's to store the whole thing. Let's look at it. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And this is John speaking. And he said, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Now look at verse 5, and I told you who this is. I'll do it again tonight because I want you to get it in your head who these are. And one of the elders, and let me go ahead and say it. I've proved it before. I'll say it again. The 24 elders represent the redeemed church. And one of the elders saith unto me, listen to him. He had the answer. By the way, the church of the living God has the answer. We're the redeemed. Weep not. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors. This right here is going to make you shout right now, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. Lord have mercy, I don't know exactly what it's going to be like, but it's going to be precious. It's going to be wonderful. And by the way, we're going to be the first ones to sing it. The church is going to be singing along with them four beasts. Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals. And hallelujah. And thou was slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood, by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And listen to this. What a great place we have with Christ. And it made us unto our God kings and priests. Amen. And we shall reign on this earth. Amen. Who shall reign on this earth? The church. Amen. The church is going to reign on this earth. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. The church. Right. Now hold it. The faithful church. Now, I don't understand all this, but not every one of the body of Christ will rule. Only the faithful. Amen. That's why the judgment seat. Because the judgment seat will tell who was faithful. Boy, it's I'm going somewhere. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels around about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Can you imagine heaven? Can you imagine that choir and that group of thousands and thousands and millions of people in one accord singing, worthy is the Lamb. Whoa! Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, as such are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I sang blessing and honor and power to him that sitteth up on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Is that good reading? Let's look at, and I'm going to jump right into the outline, but let me say this tonight. Revelation 5 teaches us the Lamb of God, Christ, is worthy. And he'll give us three reasons in your outline I give you tonight on why he is worthy. First of all, in verses 1 through 5, Jesus Christ is the Lord of history. Revelation 4 and 5 is a vision of two parts. In chapter 4, we told you last week, it's the Father and creation. And chapter 5, it is the Son and redemption. By creation and redemption, God has the right to do with this world what he wills. Amen. God the Son in particular is active in bringing history to its climax and consummation. Ladies and gentlemen, I almost want to stand here. We're living at the climax of history. We're living in the end days. This ought to be exciting to you and thrilling to you that you may be one of the group that don't even see death. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Now let's look at these five verses. Look at verse number 1. He is Lord because of God's plan. I want all y'all to know something. I believe God is sovereign and he has a plan. See, his plan includes everyone. Amen. And he said, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne. I want you to notice that word throne. I told you it's mentioned 45 times in Revelation, 14 times, I think, in this passage. That's God's throne. And then in the right hand of God, is a book. And by the way, right hand means authority, or means control, or sovereignty. Hey, listen to me, every one of you in this room, God's still in control. Joe Biden's not in control. He don't even know he's awake. This world's leaders are not in control. They're too busy working on the climate. Amen. And John Kerry's lost his mind. Amen. I thought I'd add that. And I saw in the right hand of him that was on the throne a book. Now here it is. A book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. Now, this book is mentioned 8 times in chapter 5. It was written inside and on the back. And it was filled with information. Now, the question is, what is this scroll? What is this sealed book that has writing on the backside and writing on the inside? Now, the writing on the backside tells who's worthy to open the book. The writing on the inside is just a revelation of what God's going to do. Now, what is this 7 sealed book? What is this scroll? Let me give you a couple thoughts that I believe, and I believe I'm right. First of all, it is the title deed of this earth. This is a fallen earth. Right now, Satan's a prince in the power of the air. But I want all y'all to know his time is short. Amen. Somebody help me preach. I want to say to you about this book. In Daniel 12, it said Daniel was sealed up. His book was sealed till the last day. Are y'all with me? I want you to know something. It is what's sealed within these seven seals, listen carefully, is the remainder of Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 19, or the tribulation period. And there's three things I want you to note on how God is going to redeem back the earth, and how God is going to, this title deed, reclaim this earth. What God actually is going to do is reclaim this earth. And once he reclaims this earth, his son will come back with his church and he will establish his kingdom on this earth. Woo. Now this seven seal book actually has three things within it. It has, first of all, retribution or judgment. And within, when these seals are broken, and you'll see them in chapter 6, you want to know when the tribulation starts? It starts in chapter 6. I want to correct you if you have this in your mind. The tribulation does not start at the rapture. There may even be some period between the rapture and the tribulation. I personally am one that believes that. I think the war of Russia will happen in that period. That's Smithology. I'm probably right, but I can't prove it 100%. But the tribulation doesn't appear at the rapture. The tribulation appears when the Antichrist appears. Amen? So we got retribution in chapter 6. We have the seven seals starting to be opened. In chapter 8 and 9, we have the seven trumpets that are blown. Once that seven seal is open, then the trumpets are blown. And once that seventh trumpet is blown, then we have what is called the bowls of judgment. In other words, God is going to redeem his earth by judgment. Now, here's something good. Somebody ought to shout. He has not appointed the church to wrath. Amen. That's right, preacher. Amen. Somebody help me. Right. Amen. He's not. The church will not experience one moment of this wrath. But listen carefully. Not only is within them seals retribution, but they're also redemption. Now, would you do this for me? Turn your page over to chapter 6. And I'm not going to disturb this much. And remember, the seven seals are opening. We're going to have the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I'll give you that next time I come and teach this on Wednesday night. We have that book open. But then at the end of the chapter 6, I want you to notice a phrase here. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? So really what he's saying is, who's going to be saved? Or will there be people saved during the tribulation period? I will tell you this, I do not believe anybody will be saved in the tribulation period that was convicted of the Holy Spirit during this period. Amen. They'll believe a lie and be damned. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Amen. Y'all all with me? Yes, but in chapter 7, and I don't want to go into this much because I want to do it when I get there. But I do need to cover something. God is not through with the Jewish people. Amen. How many of y'all believe that? Amen. Now, that's where me and the reform crowd get off the boat. That's right. They're nutter in a fruitcake. You know what they've done? You know what they've done to justify their Calvinistic, fatalistic doctrine? They have done away with Israel and replaced Israel with the church. That's called replacement theology. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an error. Amen. Because I'll show you in chapter 7 where he's going to save a remnant of Israel who will eventually preach. And all Israel's a nation's going to be saved. Now, I'm going to prove that. Y'all got time for a little Bible study? Turn to Romans with me. And mark this down in your ledger, your mind. Go to Romans 11, and I'll just read. I just want you to listen to this. Now, look at me, look at me. For you, if there's anybody has a doubt in here, you might have some nutso friends that throw at you that the church replaced Israel. Well, you better not listen to them. You'll be a nut like they are. You know where the Calvinists get most of their Calvinism? They pervert Romans 9, 10, and 11. Romans 9, 10, and 11 is talking about the corporate election of Israel. Amen. Not an individual saying, God elected you to be saved and elected you to be lost. That's heresy. That's false doctrine. That don't match up with the scripture that when he says, who will have all men to be saved. But look at Romans 8, or 11. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
Now listen, I'm going to read it. Then you tell me if he's done with Israel. Now we're talking about the Gentiles first. Look at verse 24. I'm going to give you context. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature unto a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches, the grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel. Right now, they're blind. I'll take a group. I'm going to take a group over to the Holy Land. I'm going to take you to the Wailing Wall, and you're going to see the blindest, saddest experience you've ever seen. You'll see those Jews putting their prayers into that wall. They believe in that wall as God Almighty, and the Holy Spirit runs up and down on the wall, but they do not believe Messiah has come yet. And they're praying for Messiah to come. They're blind. But look at verse 26. I want my Calvinist friends to listen to this. Any of you that are big time reformers, listen to this. And so all Israel shall be what?
Saved.
Say it to me.
Saved.
As it written, thou shalt come out of Zion to deliver and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Israel's going to be saved. They'll be restored. They're going to be judged. And Ezekiel 20 says they're going to be passed under the rod of judgment. And then they're going to be saved as a nation. Amen. And so they'll have redemption. And also in chapter 7, somebody, and I'm not going to cover this tonight. I'm just, oh Lord, my time's passed. I got to hurry. There are going to be some Gentiles saved. And I'll explain that when we get to chapter 7. So what's these seven seals? Retribution, redemption, and restoration. In chapter 21, 22, there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. And that new Jerusalem is made for you. Not to the Jew, but it's made for the church. Woo! Go read about it in Revelation chapter 21 if you want to get a little shout tonight. Now let's go on. Not only is he Lord because of God's plan, he's Lord because of heaven's problem. Notice we read those scriptures. Well, who's worthy? They couldn't find anybody worthy. Because Moses ain't worthy to open it. That book. Joshua wasn't worthy to open the book. Elijah wasn't worthy to open the book. Elisha wasn't worthy to open the book. Jeremiah wasn't worthy to open the book. David wasn't worthy to open the book. Peter wasn't worthy. Paul wasn't worthy. There was a universal search. And John said, I wept much. But I want all y'all to know, look at verse number 5. He's also Lord because of his power. And one of the elders, the church, said unto me, weep not. Behold, the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, had prevailed to open the book. These elders represented the church. And he said, don't weep, stop weeping, stop crying, stop wailing. Because the lion of the tribe of Judah, a Messiah came out of Judah. The root of David, Messiah will come from David, has prevailed, conquered, overcome, triumphed. As a lion, he is the strength of our salvation. As the root of David, he's the source of our salvation. I want to tell you, I got a salvation whose source is Christ and whose strength is Christ. That's why we can't be lost. That's why we're eternally secure. That's why we got preservation, not perseverance. I can persevere 10 minutes to stay saved. But he has preserved me in Christ Jesus. Whew. Y'all with me? Oh, I'm coming, brother. I'm starting to feel a little touch here from another world. Number 2, let's notice Jesus Christ in your outline is the Lord of victory. When we come to verse 5, we encounter an enigma as the drama of redemption is played out in this glorious imagery. Verse 4, he's talked about a lion and the root of David. But look at verse 5. Weep not, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals. I'll tell you what. In verse 4, we're told to look at the lion, the root of David, the elders in introduced in chapter 24, again represents a church, stood and talked about him that was slain. That's the one worthy. He went to Calvary. Somebody help me. He's worthy. Verse 6, he is victorious because he was slain. He's a lamb. I want y'all to know something. Let me give y'all something here. This is good. I put a little extra X on my notes. This word lamb is used 29 times in the book of Revelation. And only one, this particular word, and only one time outside of Revelation, this particular word. And that's in John 21:15. And the word means a pet, a little pet lamb. That was kept 4 days to prepare for the Passover. But I want you to know what this lion became. He became a warrior lamb. And 29 times it's mentioned that it's Christ. And only one time that same word lamb is mentioned in the other way. And it's talking about the false prophet. Hello? Who in chapter 13, by the way, there is going to be a false prophet. And the beast is going to be a counterfeit Christ. And the false prophet's going to have horns like a little lamb. Am I preaching? I personally believe it's the Pope, personally. Amen, preacher. Oh, amen. Yeah. I'm not afraid to say that. You say, you're going to get in trouble. Who with you? Y'all? If I'm in trouble, y'all need to go to the Catholic Church. By the way, the Lamb's rich, Lois, in the history of salvation. Genesis 22, Abraham said to Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb. Genesis 12, 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. Isaiah 53, it says he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. John 1:29 said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. He's victorious because he standeth. Look at verse 6. In the midst of the throne. Amen. He's standing at this point of history because he continues to stand and he's going to fight the battle for us. Verse 6, he's victorious because he's strong. Yes, that word 7, and those horns, that horns means power. He's victorious because he's searching. He has 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, which is the complete power of the Holy Spirit of God. Y'all all with me? He's victorious because he's sovereign. Look at 7. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. I want you to know your lamb is sovereign lamb. Somebody ought to be shouting here. I'm glad I'm serving a God who's finished the work of salvation. And it's on the climax, and we're getting ready for the consummation of all of it. And one writer said, the end of all things are at hand. But let's look at verses 8, and let's consider them down to verse 14. Verses 8 through 14 introduces us to 3 beautiful hymns sung in heaven. The first song is the longest. The second, a little shorter. And the third, shortest of all. Yet if you give them in reverse order, the first choir is the smallest, the second choir is a little larger, and then the third choir is the largest of all. Amen. Verse 8 through 10, he's praised by the saints. When he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them a harp and golden vials of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Harp is an instrument of praise. I can't imagine what it's going to be like when that harp starts playing and that choir starts singing in behind it. And that thing starts roaring. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Amen. I want you to know something. Look here. I don't know how many. I don't know if y'all have ever. Have you ever thought? Let me ask you if you ever thought. Let me. Practical time. You ever thought, man, I seem like I'm praying. It ain't going nowhere. It's just not availing much. You feel like it? I want you to know that every prayer in the will of God is stored up in heaven. And when he had taken the book, the 24 and elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials. Every one of them had a vial full of odors. They smell good, which are the prayers of the saints. Do you know, I'll say this to you, I'll petition this to you. You'll have some prayers answered after you're dead. You say, that don't move me. Well, you're out of your mind. I pray for my daughter. I pray for my son, my granddaughter. I pray special thing. I'm going to tell you what. I'm praying. And you know what God done? He said they're all stored up in a vow. And we all going to have a harp and a vow, which are the prayers of the saints. Woo! That's bigger than I am. Lord, I wish I knew what this song was. It said, and they sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. And look at verse number 10. It really makes me happy. And has made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on this earth. I want all y'all to look at me. Let me give you the cycle. Look here. We're living in the dispensation of the church. That dispensation will end with Christ calling the church up in the air. And then the church will go through a judgment. And then we'll be protected from tribulation for 7 years. Then at the end of the seven-year tribulation, that same church will come back on white horses. Back to this earth. We'll defeat the... What we'll do, Christ will have a vesture filled with blood. Where'd he get that anyway? I'll tell you what, he's going to go right down through the valley of Armageddon. And kill every bit of the army there. Move on down. Y'all all with me? Move on down to a place called Mount Olives. And Mount Olives is going to cleave. And I'm going to take you there and I'm going to show you that. And right across that valley, almost directly across, is a place called the Eastern Gate. And then he's going to swoop down. And by the way, there's a Muslim cemetery in front of that Eastern Gate to make sure the Messiah won't go through. Because they say a priest can't touch a dead body. But he's going to rip up the graveyard. And he's going to go through that Eastern Gate and set upon the throne of David. And David is going to sit with him as a co-regent. Somebody get happy with me. And you and I, when he sets there to reign, we are going to reign with him on this earth for 1,000 years. And that's found in Revelation 20. 4-6. I can't understand how in the world these cats say, well, that's all fulfilled. I know one guy, I like him, I love him, I pray for him all the time, but he dumber than a box of rocks. They believe in post-millennialism. Here's what they believe. They believe everything gonna get better, then Christ gonna come back at the end of the millennium. What a dumb, dumb statement. That went out right about World War II. People quit believing that until these bunch of young reformers who ain't got enough sense to come in and out of the rain. See, the reformers back in the... I know I'm right. Back in the 1500s to 1700s, they believed that stuff. Now, there were some great preachers back then, but I want to tell you what, they didn't have an idea on prophecy. They just didn't. Oh, I know that. I read their stuff. They make no sense. Whew. I'm not mad. I'm just being forceful. Verse 11 through 12, he's praised by the angels. How many of y'all... Man, when them angels start singing and the church starts singing, my Lord, Look at verse 12. It's saying, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. A sevenfold blessing there. That's a good word. How many believe that? And he's praised by all creation. In verse 13 and 14, the whole kit and caboodle praises him. One of these days, everything's going to praise him. And by the way, he's the only one worthy of your praise. Woo! Redemption should draw all creation into the oneness of worship. I've been thinking all day. I knew I was going to study this, and preachers knew you was going to sing that song. And I started thinking, Lord God, what's it going to be like when John Smith's up there? I can't sing a lick right here, but I'm going to be good then. And we're going to sing, worthy is the Lamb. It's going to echo. Them harps are going to be playing. The song's going to be going. You're going to be there. Somebody ought to say amen. We're going to be there. That has not been fulfilled, but it will be. Oh, boy. Oh, it's pretty good, isn't it? If the governor walks in, it's appropriate to stand. If the president walks in, it's appropriate to stand and applaud. But if Jesus the Lamb walks in, to stand is inadequate, to applaud is arrogant. The only proper response is to who he is and what he's done is to fall down on our face and worship him.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
A clap won't be good enough. No, no.
Amen.
It might be good to welcome a dignitary, but it is not enough to welcome the Lamb.
Amen.
We got to fall on our face.
Amen.
Y'all all right? I hope I've done it well tonight. Dear Lord, have mercy. And next time we come, this book that I've been talking so much about, these seven seals, they're going to be opened. And then we're going to see all hell break loose. Now, I want you to stand with me. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to ask you, how many in this room know that if you die tonight, or if Christ came tonight, you're ready to meet him? Raise your hand high. Raise them high. Amen. Thank you. In this room tonight, is there anyone that says, I'm not sure, but dear God, I want to meet him. I want to be a part of that thing. I want to be a part of that worship. I don't want to be left behind for tribulation. I don't want to be left behind for judgment. But I need Christ. If you're in this room not saved, would you slip up your hand right now and just say, but Preacher Smith, before I die, before the Lord comes, I want to be saved. Pray for me. Anybody in the room? Just slip it up. Just slip it up. Come on. Surely you don't want to die lost. Surely you'd like to make heaven. Well, the only way is through Christ. I'm going to give you an opportunity with a verse to come forward and let's take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Would you do it?